This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
This place sure looks a lot different in the future. Where are the hoverboards?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for November 10th, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
This is not the podcast you're looking for.
What was that?
You don't remember that? That's the Neuralizer.
I was going to say, it kind of sounded like my Star Trek phaser. I knew it was a familiar sound.
I'm doing great. Feels like one of those.
I've never been neuralized on a podcast before.
Yeah. Seems like we haven't podcast in a million years.
It does feel like a million years because so much has happened in the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. I should briefly explain, in case Craig didn't, that last week's show, the one that was coming out on the 3rd, was postponed or canceled because of family commitments. It seems that last-minute things at work and family plans, Julie went and Donna took her to shop at colleges. So, yeah, I've got a senior in high school, and she's looking around at colleges. I literally saw them for 15 minutes. Well, I came home from Madison, Wisconsin, because I got called at the last minute to do some on-site training, and I came home, and they walked out the door. And then I was batching it for 4 days. So when they came home, we needed Sunday evening to be a family again.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday, I take off for New York.
Then you find out your other daughter has gotten engaged.
Well, yeah, I see that on Facebook. I just sent her a message. I said, it'd be kind of nice if you told your dad when you're getting engaged. 15 years old. They don't know what they're doing.
What happened to the permission part?
No. I don't know where she thinks she's getting married. Or who's funding it?
I don't know, but you're listed as her parent, and Princess something other is her other parent.
Crazy stuff. Hey, welcome to Technorama. Before we get started, we want to remind you that we are extending because of our 1 week off. We're going to extend our Jelliskins contest. We've got a $25 gift card to Jelliskins to give away. If you haven't heard of these people, they're an awesome way to cover your iPad, iPhone, BlackBerry, e-reader, PSP, even your laptop. They're very thin. It's like a sticker cover, but it doesn't. It does come off if you want it to come off.
Hey, can I put it on my face?
If that's what you want, yeah.
I want the steampunk one. Put it on my face.
Your head. If you've got a dock connector on your head, it won't interfere with that either, like some cases or bumpers. I'm just envisioning
dock,
like,
connectors, USB ports, and rocker switches.
Craig putting a bumper on his head for the ultra klutzy.
Look at that chrome dome.
They've got hundreds of cool designs, and you can even upload your own image. So maybe, Craig, you should upload a new face and then stick that to your face.
I think we should make a Technorama gel skin. I think I mentioned that last time.
Check them out at jelliskins.com. Contest rules include, send us an email. You only need to send one to contest@chuckchat.com. One entry per person, and all entries must be received by midnight, November 14th, 2010. That gives you just a few days if you're listening to this lickety-splickety on the podcast. If you're on the live stream, you got another week. So we have extended this 1 week, and family of Technorama employees are not eligible. Send them in, contest@chuckchat.com. We want to see you win. We're not selling these email addresses or anything either, so you can trust us, really.
Yeah, not for a while.
We haven't done it in the past.
Not for a while.
We won't do it now.
Yeah.
We want to keep your trust. Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we've got some insight on how Obi-Wan became Ben Kenobi, more great Back to the Future anniversary stuff, and a real-time traveler caught on film. You be the judge.
What happens
when science on the frontier collides with supernatural potential. What happens when curiosity and an open mind meet fundamental and often deeply disturbing philosophical questions? The Weird Show, a podcast not nearly as serious as this promo. TheWeirdShow.com.
This is Brett Thacker, formerly Division Chief of the Delta Launch Operations Division at Kennedy Space Center, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
All right. That must mean it's time to get started. Don't you just get jazzed up by that music?
Yes, I do. It still works for me.
We're not changing that theme.
Actually, when I get up in the morning, I actually play it for myself just to get out of bed.
That's my ringtone. It makes me want to answer the phone. Actually, it makes me not want to answer the phone because I want to hear the music. Hey, if you happen to be around on Sunday nights, we want to see you. We've got a live chat room going. We've got a live cameras going, and you can see the whole thing. We'll have video clips and audio clips, and you can see Craig and me, and we're talking, we're having fun. Sunday, 9:30 Eastern time.
Can you see my cam?
Not at the moment. Why? Should I?
There. I've just zoomed in so you can see my lips actually speaking into the microphone. Does that help you?
That's scary.
Yeah, I thought it might entice somebody to come, but maybe not. You can see I only have one lip at the bottom. I don't have a top lip.
I'm getting some Ustream commercial, so I got to stop your stream.
All right. Oh, there we go.
I'm not going to worry about that.
Do 1X zoom. There we go.
Okay. Zoom this. This is a team sport, so we're going to give a shout out to the chat room because we have a live chat room that I mentioned earlier. If I can get the right window up here. We have me and you and Gru.
That sounds like a song.
Yeah. Me and you and a guy named Gru. Typing in a chat room all the time. We got AD Doc Brown, Claudio M, Captain Rootbeer wants a flux capacitor, Debdrop, NCAF 1.21 gigawatts.
Yeah.
Marty McTim, Marvy McFly, Nightstar, Uncle Joey. Get used to those bars, Uncle Joey. And ZML 2008. Well, shouldn't he be like ZML 1985?
Yeah, right.
The chat room's a lot of fun. It's totally free. You don't need a password or anything. You just go to chuckchat.com/technorama on Sunday nights. You'll see. Just enter your name. And if you don't want to, if you want to change your name to be part of this theme thing they think of, 25th anniversary of Back to the Future. Is that what it is?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, I guess. Yep.
Catfish, do I feel old tonight.
I mean, didn't I talk about that? I saw the movie in the theater.
I believe you did.
That's right.
Yes. And speaking of old, that means it's time for the birthday calendar.
1 year older.
We're going to do a little catching up here because we missed a week. November 3rd, happy birthday to Ken Pace. November 4th, Avner from Tel Aviv, our own Avner Braveman.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
Our man about town in Israel.
November 5th, Michael Corlett from New Zealand. We are just international all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
November 8th is Mark the Encaffeinated One, or Mark the Encaffeinated 1.21 gigawatts, host of The Weird Show. Also on April 28th? No. November 8th, stick with the calendar,
yes.
Keep reading. On the Drift, the 10th is John Noble from The Island. Is he still on the island, or did he get booted off the island?
More like ejected.
November 13th, Pippa from London. And the 15th, coming up, Chuck Jolly, a.k.a. Nightstar, from Horn Lake, Missouri. Happy birthday to everybody on the birthday calendar. If it's your birthday and you didn't happen to make it on the calendar, well, there's one easy way to fix that. You go to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name on, and we'll get you when it comes around. Otherwise, here's hoping you have a terrific day on your birthday as it comes up, even if it's not on our calendar.
Sure.
That means it's time for... Where's my still images? This is so much easier when Julie's doing it.
Yeah, where's she at?
Good news, everyone!
She's doing her homework like she said she was back in August. September when we had the last of them. All right, first story up is, I believe you contributed this one, a real time traveler possibly caught on film.
Yeah, and you know, I'm pretty sure that is not a cell phone in this video, but I'll explain.
Let me explain away. Yep.
There's a Charlie Chaplin movie. I think it was Circus.
Called Circus. The Circus, yep.
Just Circus. And anyway, on the DVD extras, there is a clip where they show the Chinese theater and they show people walking around. And there's somebody that walks behind this fake zebra.
Oh, I thought the zebra was the time traveler.
Yeah, that's me. No, anyway. So this woman walks by, heavy-footed, looks like a man.
I'm questioning whether it is a woman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, she has this black thing with her hand wrapped around it up against her ear, and she looks like she's talking into it. But I've seen articles all over the internet saying, well, it's probably a hearing aid. Like, you know, now they fit in the canal, but back then they were like, you know, you had a backpack for it almost. But it looks like I think it was Siemens or somebody had it out. I can't remember which one it was, but it looks like a battery pack or something. She's got her hand up to her ear. But the guy slows it down several times, and it does look like it has an antenna or something. I'm not quite sure, so I'll let you be the judge on that. But it's enough to make you go, huh, and look at it really close, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I've been watching it a number of times, like, what is that? That's definitely a guy, because it's like a top hat, the more you look at it. Like,
and you know what? Maybe it's somebody, I don't know, just goofing around because of the movie. I don't know. You know, the way they're dressed, but yeah, it just looks odd that they're talking it, and then they kind of look and see that they're being filmed and kind of turn back, you know, like, I don't know, just get that weird
thing. I'm going with the time traveler conspiracy. He's got a cell phone, clear as day.
It says LG on the side.
The zebra's backing me up on that.
Ear trumpet. That's what Incaf was saying. Ear trumpet. But just, no, I mean, you know, part of me goes, maybe. Another part's like, well, I don't know, but, you know, I'm kind of torn. Makes me want to go back in time and see.
Yeah, back and see Charlie Chaplin movies.
I wouldn't mind seeing them in the theater, originally. That'd be kind of cool. Hey, wait a minute. If you could travel in time and go see an event, just one event, what would it be?
I would go back and... It would have to be something biblical for me. Not that I have to prove my faith, but just to see what really happened in some of these things. How close they were to the Bible being accurate. It's just a curiosity for me.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. For me, I would probably say something like, could be seeing Martin Luther nail the Magna Carta thing. Not Magna Carta.
When he nailed his theses. Say it right.
Oh, gross. Oh, thesis. All right. As you can see, I'm up on my...
He gets nailed. He nails the Magna Carta. You did real well in history, I can tell.
I'm sorry. We've been talking about that crap with Harrison. Anyway, something like that.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, I know.
How many commandments did Noah take off the mountain?
Commandments. Well, listen, I think it would be interesting to see like the sign of the Declaration of Independence or something, you know, see how they're actually, if there was a lot of cooperation and debate, you know, what kind of debates were going on.
I would like to see the development of certain areas. Like just watch it over time as a outside observer. Say, all right, what was actually on this site, especially in the U.S. where everything is fairly young compared to Europe, is...
Earth?
go to your hometown and say, what was there 400 years ago? Mm-hmm. What was there 300, 200, 150, 125 years ago? How big was the town? What was there? Where were there bridges? Where were there creeks that are now just run through culverts underneath the town that nobody knows about? And just kind of see the evolution of how things went. And then forward and see how things will change.
Yeah, sure. Well, I've had a little bit of taste of that. I bought a or I'm sorry, a couple years ago, I got a gift. It was a book somebody gave me at Christmas about our hometown, and I was reading through it, and mm-hmm. I saw a bunch of names that I know, either I'm talking last names, like people I knew in high school or people I've known over time. You know, I recognized their last names, and I'm like, well, that's interesting. And then there was a picture, and I'm looking at the picture, and I'm like, it looks familiar, but the picture is probably 80, 90 years old, you know, wow. but it's a picture of the street corner on Cherry Road in Rock Hill. And I recognize some of the tree line a little bit, but there's like where there's a mall and stuff now, there's nothing. It's just like a field.
Yeah.
It's like when Marty went back and he's, you know, he's running around
the Twin Pines Mall. Yeah.
Or no, in his neighborhood, the Lion Estates, where there's like nothing around developing it. That's kind of what I got out of that. I was like, wow, it's, you know, there's like a dirt road. Now it's like a road. You know? So anyway, that's kind of neat to see stuff like that.
Speaking about going back in time, that brings us to our Hacks and Strange Story.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
First thing up we've got is fossilized dino poop.
Wow, you thought it was going to be something great and amazing.
That's right. If you could go back in time, this is what you'd get. No, this is scientifically known as a coprolite. It's a fossilized fecal matter of various animals. And
as you can see, we're a highbrow show here.
The funny thing is, this is for ages 5 and up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, real fossil, real poop. And there's a chunk of rock in this thing. And it says, warning, choking hazard, small parts, not for children under 3 years. Verified, authentic, by Thomas Colburn. Whoever Thomas Colburn is, but I'm glad he authenticated this is real fossilized dino matter.
And Calf in the chat room says, I'm so good at sales, I can sell any old crap. Even hardened fossilized crap. Yes. That's funny. How can I tell that's real poop? It looks like a rock to me.
It looks like a slice of rock to me too. But you know, that's what fossilized poop is. But if you saw it, this is just a slice of it. If you saw it as the whole thing, it would resemble, you know, the stuff.
Can you imagine being the guy stuck with that job? You went to school so you could do like carbon dating, some really cool stuff, and you're stuck identifying fossilized poop.
Well, if it's like current poo, you can probably learn a lot from it.
Yeah, sounds like crap to me.
Which is kind of the nature of this show, right?
That's funny.
All right, that moves us into... Oh, wait, we still have more.
Yeah, we have more.
I thought we only had one Hacks and Strange Story. No, we only had one news story.
Well, if you want to make your own lightsaber, why not go all out and make it where you can adjust the colors? You know.
Isn't that what you do with the iPhone lightsaber one?
Yeah, you can change your own colors. And well, this guy made his own, you know, the traditional hilt with a blade, and you can turn it on and off. But he made it to where you can change with a potentiometer the values of the RGB LEDs in it. So he was going from green to yellow to purple to blue and, you know, just about any kind of shade in between. And apparently it's open. It's an open source project, and he has put all the how-to-dos on there. So you can go read about it and make your own. I think it's kind of neat.
What is he using for the actual lightsaber saber? Is it just a fluorescent tube?
It looks like a tube where the LEDs are in the base of it, and it just shines up through it, not like a string of LEDs in it.
This is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. It doesn't look overly complicated. A little circuit board, the batteries, and, you know.
Might be interesting to see if anybody goes to any conventions with one of these next time.
Make your own. Make one, Chuck.
Right. You know, I just don't have the time to make things like this, as cool as they are. Looks like you did a fairly good job on the handle, too.
Yeah, the handle looks really good. So... yeah, I like to have it blue and then flip it to red. Yeah.
And yellow. Because everybody knows when, you know, robot eyes go from blue to red, the robots are now evil. Which is kind of interesting when you're driving through a city or something at night. Look at all the towers on top of the buildings and things. They're all red.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
Coinkydink? I don't think so. The buildings are evil.
Something like this is great for a Jedi that suffers from bipolar depression. You just kind of flip between good side and dark side.
Oh, yeah. Multi-personality syndrome, Jedi.
Hey, man. Hey. That was me freaking out.
Known as Sybil, you will be.
All right. Well, moving right along is another hack, which I thought was pretty cool, was, you know, this Irby, which is the name of the car, hybrid is the
dumb name for a car. Irby the love bug is the first thing that comes to mind when I hear that. And it's URBEE.
Yeah, Irby. And it's the first car to come out of a printer. So how dumb is that, Chuck?
Like a cardboard printout printer? Because I made one of those with Print Shop years ago.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll read a little bit of the article here. It says, 3D printers are getting ever more advanced and apparently ever bigger, too. Proof of that is the Irby Hybrid, the result of a partnership between the transportation company Core Ecologic and Stratasys. Excuse me there. I kind of stumbled on that. Anyway, they've already been shamelessly rebranded as 3D printers as HP Desk Design Jets. Core provided the concept and the underpinnings of the thing, which you can see the chassis in the video. The design has its roots in the early 90s, but has been given a new teardrop body, 100% printed by the Stratasys. Underneath is a plug-in hybrid powertrain that manages up to 200 miles per gallon, impressive, on the highway and 100 miles around town. Running on ethanol and plain old gasoline. So it's pretty cool.
It's pretty futuristic looking car, if nothing else.
Yeah. Well, I've seen, seen people printing their own auto parts. Like I saw a video with Jay Leno. He has a 3D printer and he's got a bunch of old cars. Well, he can reproduce the parts using the 3D printer and AutoCAD or whatever, and then have it recast as a metal piece. So to find parts that you can't just order over the internet for obsolete cars. So this is a natural progression, I think.
What is the advantage of printing it out of a 3D printer, though? It can't be cheaper or faster to manufacture.
Well, I would imagine that it'd be faster because you could design it and hit, I guess, I don't know.
It would be faster to prototype. That's a different thing. But to manufacture, no.
No, I don't think it's for manufacturing. I think it's for doing it as a prototype. I print my own go-kart here at the house. That'd be cool. I want my replicator. Then it would be cool and faster.
All right, I give you that much.
Yeah. Computer, I want a Lamborghini hot.
All right, coming up, we're going to take a quick break. Coming up in the media corner, we've got a comic and a few props from Back to the Future. As you couldn't tell, this is a Back to the Future themed show. We'll be right back with that and more after this.
Tell me, sir, what do you think of Technorama?
It's awesome. It is so cool. My podcast, Geek Out Mainframe, hey, watch Technorama first. Then if you have time, you can listen to my podcast.
I have not tried this yet, so this is an untested product.
Anything smart, we're getting rid of it. Download them all, which I like. Platypus, Sapare, and The Wiz. And you look under the word geek in the dictionary, and you'll see us there.
Really?
Yes.
You did this to me!
Please hang up and try again.
This is Peggy from Twister Sisters, and tonight you're listening to Chuck and Craig at Technorama. And I hear this is just going to blow you away.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
You look scared. That's standing out more and more now that I hear it.
You look scared. Oh, well, I see.
That voice really? In the battery. You look scared. Now I'm going to have to find out where that's from. All right, first up we have from East Bay Ant, one of our faithful listeners, brings us a cartoon from SMBCComics.com. First Payne says, Discoveries people cherish. And the scientist is going, I've discovered a way to transmute water into fuel. Jose says, Discoveries scientists cherish. I've discovered a way to transmute whiskey into breakfast.
Sadly, I think people discovered that a long time ago.
I don't know. It was one of those things that came across my desk, and I said, hey, that's pretty funny. That's Technorama worthy. Sure. Thanks, East Bay Ant. And, you know, just another webcomic that you might want to subscribe to, find interesting, smbc-comics.com.
Okay, wait a minute. I actually went back one comment.
Yes.
And the first thing, it looks like the landlord's talking to the tenant. Water and gas are paid for, but you're responsible for the electric. Fool! I've attached a flywheel to the shower head, which will spin my dynamo, which will charge my capacitor bank, which will connect to all my wiring in my apartment. I bypassed your system entirely, apartment manager, for you did not reckon on my being. We had assumed nobody would spend so much money and time just to save a few dollars. I'm an engineer. I guess it's better when you read it. Sorry.
I went back all the way. It says 2 times 2 is 3. Wrong again, mutant. And the guy's got this big brainiac head. Doctors said Horton was blessed with an unusually large functional brain. Sadly, it was later discovered that 2/3 of the oversized cranium were occupied by the little known stupid lobe.
Oopsie. Awkward.
Stupid lobe. I think several people I know have a stupid lobe. But
hey,
we won't mention any names.
Quit looking at me, Chuck.
We won't. I'm not pointing any fingers.
Yeah. I see that.
Work with me here. All right. Second up, we have Back to the Future props that are up for auction. Found this
Sweet.
On IO9. Yeah. Apparently, there are a number of things that made it.
I'm not sure the auction's still going on, but.
Why not?
Because I'm looking at their page and I don't see it.
Oh, bummer.
That's okay. Go ahead and talk about these items.
Let's take a look at a few of these. We've got the magazine that Biff was looking at, Oh La La. I'm not sure what this yellow T-shaped thing is. Do you remember that from anywhere?
The yellow T-shape? What are you talking about?
Look on the website. There's like picture number 3. It's kind of this yellow and black T-shaped thing.
And picture number 3?
Are you looking at the IO9 article?
Oh, no. I'm actually on... Hold on a second.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at toplessrobot.com.
He's still on the Oh La La picture. We know that. They've got one of the Frisbee Pies pie tins. The USA Today. Gang jailed. Hoverboard rampage destroys courthouse. Gang leader. I was framed. They've got an old-time map from Back to the Future 3 of Hill Valley. They've got the Presto Changeo Biff's auto detailing changes into Pleasure Paradise matchbook covers. That didn't really change. It just does that. Of course, the Gray's Sports Almanac from 1950 to 2000. Fat load of good that'll do you today.
Hey, by the way, that little T-bar.
Yeah.
I think I'm with Captain Rootbeer in the chat room. I think it may be from the scooter. You know, he pulls the thing off in the future. I don't know. That's kind of a weird prop to...
That is pretty obscure. They've got Marty's future jacket and the Nike lace-up shoes. I don't know if that's the actual DeLorean or a toy of the DeLorean.
The most technically accurate reproduction of the iconic DeLorean time machine from Back to the Future.
Really?
80 to 120 grand. I imagine that's a real deal.
Okay, we'll go with that. And a very rare... Who's the guy who almost played Marty? Eric Stoltz?
Eric Stoltz, yes.
Yeah. Very rare picture of him in the disappearing image, you know, when he's got it on the end of the guitar at the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the picture instead of Marty.
Hey, you know what's funny is the sister, she doesn't have the same sweatshirt either.
Oh, no. She's wearing HV class, Hill Valley class of 84. What was she wearing in the movie?
I thought it was like a reddish sweatshirt.
We're gonna have to verify that one.
Disappearing picture.
Oh, he's back Googling it now.
Yeah, to the future.
All right. Well, you're looking at that. I got to get into my next thing. What the chuck? All right.
What's up with that?
Real quick.
And by the way, I just verified it.
You did verify. She was wearing a reddish, pinkish thing. What?
Yeah, it's a different. She's just standing a little different. She's got these pinkish looking pants on, but it says it's the same sweatshirt.
Are they in the same place? Like kind of the?
No.
I didn't think so. There was no wagon wheel in the other picture.
No, they're standing in front of a fountain. I mean, I'm sorry, a well.
Okay.
And Marty's in the middle, and they're on either side of him.
Ah. All right, my what the chuck is around Apple's alarm problem with daylight saving time. And by the way, it's saving, not savings time, for those of you who still say it wrong.
Well, don't you save time, so that'd be savings?
No, it's daylight saving time.
Okay.
Deal with it. It's the official way. Look on Wikipedia.
Okay, whatever.
The all-important oracle of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, now, you're aware that not everybody observes daylight saving time, and not all countries and whatnot who do observe it switch at the same time. So, like, Australia was a couple weeks ago, and the UK was sometime around there, and then the US changed it a few years ago, so now we're into November. So, Apple got the notice a couple weeks ago that the iPhone, iPod Touch, you know, anything running basically iOS 4 has a bug in it. That the alarm, if you set the alarm for like 7 a.m. on Sunday morning after you switch your clocks back an hour,
right,
it didn't go off at the right time. But it was only for certain things. I can't remember if it was standalone or if it was recurring events. But anyway, they found this out from other countries, but there was no patch or anything. So the U.S. comes along Sunday morning, November 7th, and yes, people still get caught off guard. That their alarms are not going off at the right time and they're an hour late for whatever they were, or an hour early. It's like,
so the, it's
on,
like the
people.
Alarms weren't exactly tied to the clock?
That's what's bizarre.
Yeah.
Not only did they not fix it, even though they knew about it, but it's like I don't understand how you can't with the architecture the way it is. Because my phone changed time on the right time. It went from 3 a.m. to 2 a.m. and switched at the right time. But how did they not catch this? I mean, why are the built-in apps not auto-updatable when you go to check the iPad, the iTunes store?
I don't know.
Isn't that bizarre? The built-in apps have to be part of the operating system? They can't be patched separately?
I hate to say this, but my Android phone's sounding pretty good now, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm kind of scratching my head on this one on Apple.
Yeah, well, and just like you said, a lot of the apps like the Gmail app and really all the core apps, the Google stuff, is in the market, in the Android market. So they would get updated, just by the nature of being there.
Pretty
so.
Bizarre. Okay, that's as far as I want to take that one. Now, you've got a couple things before we get into the Geek Library. What have you found?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this last week, but of course, plans kind of fell apart, for a show. But nonetheless, a week ago Thursday, I went and saw the 20-minute preview of Tron Legacy.
When is that coming out?
December 17th. And it was free tickets. I got them online, and we went. It was 3D, of course, in the IMAX theater, which I have to say, that was pretty cool. And that's how I'm going
to
see
that movie.
Did you
have to pay for this preview?
No, it was totally free.
Okay.
However, it was a bizarre that some people had reserved seats. I'm like, how did that work out? They had their name on them. I'm like, okay. But nonetheless, I just want to say, they came up, and you know how Tron, in the movies, at least the early movies, you see the cursor, and it starts spelling out something, Well, it starts telling you the first part of the movie is not 2D. However, keep the glasses on because it will change. So we're watching it, and it's like a DVD. It comes up, and it says what the name of the scene is. It says scene 52, whatever. So you see Bruce Boxleitner talking to Sam Flynn, and they're kind of laying out the story a little bit. And he goes to the arcade to look for his dad. You've seen that in the trailers.
Yeah.
And it looks great. He turns the power on, and the in the arcade and Journey starts playing on the jukebox.
Whoa.
A lot of nostalgic stuff in there. It's kind of cool. But then it comes up and says scene 40 whatever, or 82 or whatever, and it said Disc Wars. And I was like, oh, cool. Everybody's like, yeah. So they show them throwing the discs and stuff. And this is when the 3D really started kick in, you know, when they're in the computer world. And when they're standing on the floor, it looks like glass. But they make it look so realistic because below it, it's like you maybe see some computer numbers or something layered, but it's like below their feet. And it gives you a feeling like they're above, you know, a little bit on glass. Way cool. I mean, I was blown away. And then there's another scene. It's in one of the other trailers. Girls driving a computerized light car type vehicle.
Yeah.
And you're outside of what would be the windshield. And you're looking into the car as they're talking. And as I'm watching her drive and speak, and then I kind of take the focus away for a second, I'm like, whoa. You can see a little bit of dust on the glass, you know, in the movie. And I'm like, it looks like you're looking through a pane of glass, and it really gives you that effect. And it really blew me away. I have to say the IMAX 3D has come a long way.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I'm totally going to see this in IMAX 3D. I'll make an effort to see this one in it. So, I thought the movie looked pretty good from the parts that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the acting might look a little flat, but maybe it's just, in the small preview I saw, you know, but it looks cool. It looks cool nonetheless. A lot of eye candy.
They've been working on that for a while.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that. How long did they work on the first one? Do you remember?
20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 minutes. No, I imagine they worked on a long time there. I can't remember. But no, it was very cool. Loved it.
All right, roll into the next one. You've got another one here about Back to the Future. Yeah. We keep jumping around and hitting that topic. Yeah. So
speaking of time traveling, I did a little of that myself.
Right.
Well, you know, I may have mentioned this part on the show. I put on Facebook when me and Harrison were in the theater, I'm about to see Back to the Future in the theater, you know, the typical, you know, Facebook, Twitter update. And so one of my old classmates messaged me back on Facebook, say, hey, I still think I got that video we made. I'm thinking, I didn't make a copy of Back to the Future for anybody. Then I went, oh, he's talking about our English project that we worked on together, where we spoofed Back to the Future and mixed it with a book that we were reading in class as part of a class project.
Yeah.
Where we would go back in time, witness events that happened in the book, you know, and come back. Well, the book takes place in World War II era, the time frame. It's a separate piece. I don't know if you're familiar with that story. And it takes place in a boys' school, and the boys are pretty close-knit group. And then one thing leads to another, and they are against each other. Like, one of them thinks the other one's trying to kill him, you know, by something he did. So anyway, so we decide we're going to go back in time and witness some of these events. And so to set up the Back to the Future, you know, we used the only silver car we had, which a perfect stand-in for the DeLorean was my 78 Honda Civic. But it was anyway, let me back up. He put the video online. So this is what blew me away. Okay, I saw myself. I'm 17 years old. The other faces I recognize immediately. Like, these were like how I remember seeing these people. Anyway, so we send my Honda down in time. I put a piece of a glow in the dark stick in my trunk to simulate putting the plutonium in the car. We light the road on fire, which I think you saw part of that in the video.
Yeah.
So you see my car coming out of the driveway, and all of a sudden, poof, you know, and then we made it appear and run into one of the kids, like it hurt his leg, and that was all part of the story. You know, that was part of the real story. That one of the kids hurt his leg, and they thought another kid did it. You know, anyway. So anyway, it was just amazing to see this video. I thought I had no hope of seeing again.
Yeah, if you want to see a much younger, blonder Craig, that'll help you spot him. I mean, as far as the video quality goes, don't expect a whole lot because it's old VHS that's somewhat degraded. Yeah. So the sound is pretty much gone. What sound there is, there's no mic, so you can't really hear the dialogue too well. But it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, the guy, Brad Williamson, he had it in his garage. So, you know, there's no telling how long it's been in the garage. But surprisingly, actually, the tape broke when he first tried to play it back, and he had to fix it. But, oh, yeah, and the... You know, I put in a piece of video in there to kind of illustrate that this was in World War II era, and it was. Can you tell them what it was, Chuck?
No, I missed it.
You missed it?
I didn't watch the whole thing because I.
It was Rambo. I had a.
You had a Rambo in there.
Hey, one of the kids.
Rambo wasn't World War II.
I'm totally
losing the connection here, Craig.
Here. One of the kids at the school signed up for the draft or signed up for a service and went into the war. Well, then one of the kids says, "What about Leper?" Which is one of the kids, and that's a horrible name. So then I cut to this scene of Rambo shooting his gun at the computers and stuff. Hey, you know, I didn't have a lot of stock footage laying around.
Okay, so he steals from another movie.
Well, Brad even mentioned, he says, "That clip of Rambo might get it pulled from YouTube, but here you go."
All right.
So anyway,
three things we gotta go through quick in the Geek Library. That sounds like a lot of fun, man. I wish we'd seen the you know, you want to film an update? Get your friends together and do an update version of that.
Well, yeah, I thought about that. I don't know if they'll do that. But yeah, one thing I do want to add was, you remember I've written all the Christmas things for Fit, right?
Yep.
Or at least started the main part of the stories. Well, yeah, look, I think I actually remember writing this Back to the Future spoof. So if you think about it, I kind of have this theme going through.
Right.
I'm going through all these old things and spoofing them. I just thought it was a funny little thread.
It's in your DNA.
I guess so.
All right, three things in the Geek Library we're going to go through them real quick, and we're going to take you out of here. First thing up is apparently... You ever wonder what happened to all the HD DVD players when they're no longer hot items? Well, they get sucked up by Hollywood because apparently a clever viewer was watching a recent episode of Chuck and he's cowering behind a pile of HD DVD players.
So if you need one, go to the Buy More.
Yeah, Buy More in Burbank.
In Burbank of all places.
Yeah, you'll find one there. I'm sure.
Yeah, and this other video I thought was pretty funny. It was Ben Kenobi, Private Eye. Oh, I'm sorry, Private Jedi.
Yeah, not Private Eye, Private Jedi.
He's using the Force to actually be, all good at being a Private Eye. It's kind of funny to watch.
This is over on the SF Signal site.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of comical to watch because it's the old, noir... film-esque thing.
I like how he starts to use the Force, guys, as those things don't work on me, and he ends up making it work anyway.
And there's a number of times in there where he says, why don't you take your the money you spend on making these crank calls and buy yourself some kind of contraption that'll destroy a planet. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I should have.
A couple of times where he says, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we do have one more Back to the Future clip thing in here. Saturday Night Live did a remake, outtake of actors trying out for this Back to the Future parts. And they've got, like one of the Saturday Night Live crew doing Al Pacino as Doc Brown.
I'll give him props. He does do it pretty well.
They got Eddie Murphy trying to do Marty McFly.
Yeah.
It's just, there's a
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams, yeah. As Joan Cusack. Just a whole bunch of good impersonations doing these different parts. There's a couple of clips over on Gizmodo if you want to check them out. There's links in there.
Mm-hmm.
Happen to stop it while Robin Williams is doing Mr. Happy. That probably wasn't a good spot. Wasn't a good spot. We'll keep going.
Pause it there.
So, all right, we've had our fun with Back to the Future's 25th anniversary. Want to go see that? I really do. I know I have two or three on my iPod or my iPhone. I can't remember which one. But
I like one and three. Those are my two favorite. Although two's good just for being there.
I'm not sure. I think Julie's seen all of them, which warms my heart. If not, we'll have to get some more 80s films in her genre. But she's so busy these days.
You need to start going through all the John Cusack movies.
I actually watched Willow end-to-end this weekend. I'd never seen the whole thing.
You know, I said the same thing. I had never watched it. I've seen clips in here and there, and I knew about it. Me and Harrison watched it. He didn't get it. I thought it was okay. It's not the greatest movie.
You know what's funny? I didn't realize this. The guy who plays Willow, a few years earlier, Val Kilmer wasn't Willow.
I'm sorry. You said Will. Yes.
What's his name? Wallace Davis, something like that. The small guy. Warwick Davis. Yes. There was something that came across the RSS feeds this week that had sort of this underground hidden clip on how he became one of the Ewoks.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow, what are the odds that, you know, that shows up in Netflix on the same day that it shows up in a news feed? It was just kind of bizarre. It was like, all of a sudden, Warwick Davis is in my house twice in one day.
Huh. Yeah. Well, he was in all the Star Wars movies. He was in The Phantom Menace.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was in the crowd in the pod racer.
you mean the stand filled with like 5,000 people?
Wasn't he the little miniature Greedo-looking character? He was in there a couple times.
Oh, man. You're too much sometimes. What? All right. that brings us to the end of the show.
He played Anakin. Actually, it would have been an improvement, maybe.
Tried out as Boba Fett. That was in that little clip.
When Anakin turns into Darth Vader, let's put Warwick Davis in the suit.
That takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can phone, email, Twitter, Morse codes, smoke signals, message in a bottle. You know, it's all there just on the Contact Us page on the Technorama site at chuckchat.com. Or there's always a tip jar, one-time or monthly micropayment, special treats if you sign up for that. Speaking of which, we do have an interview for everyone, not just the paid members, with Tom Smith coming down the pike. I sent the proof over to Craig to make sure I didn't do any technical gaffes. You should see that in the feed real soon, too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun. We caught up with him at Dragon Con, so you'll hear all about that as we do the interview. It is just shy of an hour. Apologize for going so long, but it's a lot of fun, and it's the first time, if memory serves, we've ever used music in a Technorama podcast. Legally.
Legally. That's right. We got permission.
The guy was listening to it while I was listening to it. How can you get any better than that? He was actually giving me URLs to download some of the latest stuff. So,
well, there you go. There. Yeah.
So if you don't have any money for the tip jar, you can always write us a review on the iTunes Music Store. Special thanks for Madmar for providing all the great blog content during the week. Oh, that means I got to start the music, right?
Yeah, that's your key.
There you go. Thank you. Special thanks to Madmar for providing all the great blog content during the week. If you're not going to the website or subscribe to the RSS feed, boy howdy, are you missing out. You got to check some of that stuff out. It's a lot of fun. Also, Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday nights and archives all the great video for us during the week so that you can watch it later. Chat room provided by thinstack.net. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with a whole bunch of great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. If there's not something there that you like, something's wrong with you, check the doctor. Make sure your head's okay. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, give us a binary high five.
101, everybody. High five.
Farewell, my friend.